Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report for this Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. Show's proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. A big thank you to them, and thank you for joining us as we have got our good friend Lance Pumlin, Wood County Board Chairman. Lance, good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, James, and welcome, world. We're getting out there, huh?
Yes, yeah. Streaming is a wild thing, man. It's a wild thing. We also want to send a gigantic shout-out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Be sure to go over to YouTube, type into your search bar their initials or their name, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on the great work they are doing over there. Our city has made that much better because of the work being done by our good friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Shout-out to them. Lance, how have you been?
I've been good. Other than today where the weather's not exactly cooperating. You know, I got up this morning and said, with the wind chill, it felt like 29. I'm going, Saturday, my kids were out water skiing, actually.
Oh, really?
Today, man. I'm getting ready to, you know, brush off the snow skis and other winter sports activity.
With that, we you know, here in Wisconsin, the season changes every couple hours, it feels like. But we've got certainly a change happening here. And with that, we've got other, you know, meetings that weren't around last season. Now they're coming back around now. A budget that we have to talk about. Got a couple of things we want to get to. I wanted to start with, as you're mentioning these, the changes.
That's what the segue was for. You know, where are we going with the parks? You know?
So go ahead, talk.
No, James is really good at this. You know, one of the questions that I get asked often, you know, it's what happened with our parks. Well, our campgrounds close October 31st with a couple exceptions. Sarah Park closed already a couple weeks ago as we were doing, you know, annual maintenance there, getting ready for winter. In Dexter, we stay open in that campground through hunting season. So anybody's out there, you know, at those wildlife refuges or hunting in that area, that campground stays open through the 1st of December. So that's always a great opportunity. What's coming up, though, obviously, is the winter sports season. And the lower parking lot now for Powers Bluff off of County N, that'll be open all winter. That accesses the lower one, the cross-country ski trails. The mountain bike trails will stay open as long as you deem you can use those. Even with snow, do whatever you want. And then the hill itself, the winter sports area, always dependent on snow. So those are the biggies. We get asked that a lot, and you can check that. You can call the number of the Parks Department, and there's a list of things you can press 1-4-2-4 to find out what's open, or you can access it through the Parks website.
There, obviously, with all the different campgrounds, we have different rules, different things. Some are open longer than others, and something to keep in mind with those. And take in our parks, get some camping in, take advantage of these wonderful areas we have around here, and find out more at woodcountywi.gov. Woodcountywi.gov, you can find that and much more information over there.
Yeah, great attendance this year. I mean, we had really good season camping. The weather was cooperative. It isn't so cooperative here for the last week.
We used up all the good weather.
Maybe we'll get there.
Yeah. But it's great to hear that certainly it's a huge part of our economy, how those do. And there, I don't know if you would say they're a bellwether, but they're a good sign of our economy in this area and how we're doing when we see these well used.
Yeah, you know, not just the use of the area is huge, and the economic impact is really hard to wrap your, you know, head around or arms around, because, you know, obviously they buy gas, they use restaurants, some of them stay in hotels, they buy merchandise. It's a really big part of what we do. And then the other part is those people who see the area oftentimes, you know, migrate into this area eventually with housing or their business or future career plans. So those are all real plus. Adding Sarah Park this year was hugely advantageous to us. And as we continue the upgrades there, you know, over the years that park probably suffered from some neglect after Consolidated left and as the employees' recreation area. We're in the process of revamping everything out there. And attendance has been great this year.
When it comes to that kind of late addition of Sierra Park and everything, which is a welcome one, it's awesome to see. I've heard nothing but positives about it, both from the community and from people like talking with you and mayor and our mayor and all that. But I'm curious. It was kind of something that I don't know how – were you guys able to really plan for this? Because it felt like it was something that kind of came out of nowhere almost.
Yeah, it did. That's real perceptive. It really was. It was kind of dropped in our lap. I mean, it was something we always said would be really nice to have something on the river – like Sarah Park. And then when they came to us and said, there's no way to continually fund that because, you know, the Consolidated, you know, recreation area, Consolidated Employees Recreation Area, there is no more Consolidated Paper Company nor any of the iterations that followed. And there were some qualifications that needed to be met in regard to access. So, you know, they came to us and it really, this all transpired in about a month. And then we were pushing up against Memorial Day. And our Parks Department, that crew really did an unbelievable effort, you know, to get that ready, get that open, meet everything we needed to do. And then attendance was really good. And this year, as we come into this next year, I assume that reservations are going to be exceptional, you know, like I said, with the river access. But that was, you know, real kudos to the Parks Department, Finance Department, everybody else that put this together on really short notice.
Yeah.
Honestly, when it was going on, I remember talking with the mayor about it and saying, you know, we're really hopeful we can open it up before Memorial and all those. And then to see it happen was just incredible. Like, I want to second what you said there, because I'm blown away just thinking about it, how they pulled that off. And to your point, we saw some good attendance this year. Now that not just our community knows a little bit more about it, you can plan a little more for it and understanding next year and going forward how much it might be used. And that's a positive.
You know, when you think, a lot of these camping reservations are made a year ahead of time, basically.
Yeah.
And that park did not exist as a county park at that point in time. And, you know, as you move forward, obviously that got filled in to some extent on the backside. Some of those people were patrons of that park for many years.
Yeah.
They said, well, now it's a county park, we can go. But kind of a funny story. So I'm driving over there the other day down the highway. It wasn't just the other day, it's probably a month ago. And I go flying by the entrance, and I know where it is. And one of the comments that I had made in a conversation with our parks department was, we need a little better signage as you're coming up on the entrance. Because I flew past and go, uh-oh, and I know where I'm going. And I wasn't hauling a trailer or anything. So, yeah, we anticipate that's going to be a really highly utilized park going forward, which all of those campgrounds and those opportunities really get us to closer to revenue neutral in our parks.
When and you use a word there that I was just about to go to, a closer, and for me, I love these things that bring us as communities closer together. That brings Nakusa closer to Rapids. It brings Port closer to, you know, Stevens Point, whatever it might be. And I feel like the Sierra Park thing is one of those good kind of like in between places of a lot of our cities in this area that brings us more together.
Yeah, you and I've talked about that for years. You know, we're not, most people don't know where the county borders are. They certainly don't know where the municipal borders are. But we are a community. And I always say, you know, where do you draw the line between, not that we're trying to, but between Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point? Mm-hmm. You know, where does Plover fit into that? Mm-hmm. It's really not in Point. It's a long way here. You know, and even those local businesses, you know, benefit greatly both directions. Whether you're coming down the river, you know, I'm not trying to do commercial plugs, but, you know, you do have opportunities. You come down, you know, we have people from here that go that direction up, you know, to Rusty's or Club Forest. We have people that come from that direction down to Anchor Bay. Those are hugely beneficial to our area. And the more that we can provide, the more likely we are to thrive as a community, not just a county, not a city, not a town or village.
Well said. And you can mention any business. Just give me a cut. Just give me and Joe a cut. That's
we'll,
all.
We'll talk
you
to them.
You can mention the business.
see what they're willing to do.
Right, right. We're speaking with Wood Cutting Board Chairman Lance Plimmel right now. And Lance, certainly one of the bigger things on the docket for you and the team on our board was the budget. And we're going to be releasing some numbers on that tomorrow, it sounds like.
Yeah, tomorrow. The budget has to be published tomorrow. It's always interesting. Frankly, it's my least favorite time of the year. I kind of like to look at the big picture, operational, and then you get down to how do you make it all work and what, you know, how do the nuts and bolts all come together to make this happen. And this year, just to give you some perspective, the county budget this year is $157 million. This sounds funny, give or take a couple hundred thousand. But, you know, as we fine-tune stuff, but, you know, it takes a lot of couple hundred thousands to make even a small percentage change in that $157 million. So we got a $157 million budget. Of that, what's pretty interesting, only $35 million of that roughly is property tax. So you got a $157 million budget. A lot of that is pass-through money from federal and state agencies and or governments. You got $35 million of property tax revenue. If you subtract that difference, the 35 is about what we have to use on what you would call local programs, law enforcement, highway department, you know, things like that. The other stuff is generally already, you know, allocated for programs that we are required or mandated to provide. So although it's a big number, the percentage that we can actually use is fairly small. I think the most significant part for the taxpayer, you know, we just put up $100 million jail. It's not quite that much, but that's a round number again. Despite that, our tax rate this year is going from, the mill rate was 465 last year, it's 439 this year. So, you know, that's kind of kudos to our department heads, to those employees, to people for instance, in the Parks Department, who get parks open in a hurry. We're not bringing in a lot of independent contractors to do work we do. And yet we're cognizant of the fact that it impacts people's lives. I mean, it's property tax, which is probably the most regressive tax there is, but it is what it is. And that concerns us. And I had somebody the other day, a very intelligent person, came to me and said, well, why does the county borrow any money every year when they do a big project like this? Why don't they just save for it? You know, build up a reserve fund and do it. And the attitude, I can tell you this going back my 30 years, is I don't want to take money out of your pocket and keep it in our account until we need it. We'll ask for it if we actually need it. And it reminds me of kind of income tax when I hear people oftentimes, I'm going to get in trouble with even my own relatives for saying this, but they go, oh, I got a giant tax refund at the end of the year. Isn't that great? I'm going, why would you let the government use your money for anywhere from, you know, 1 to 12 months when if you put it in the bank, it might even have kicked you off another couple, $200, $300, maybe thousands of dollars if you're a high income earner. Why? Well, I get it all at once. I go, I get that, and you may be less inclined to spend it if you get it, you know, if you see the bigger chunk. But the philosophy from the county has been, until we need it, we're not going to ask you for it.
Are there projects or are there things that you think are going to affect that coming up or going in the future?
Obviously, you know, inflation's gone through the roof on especially building materials and roads. I mean, things that we used to do for, you know, $500,000, let's say a mile, is now $1 million a mile. You see the price of anybody who's put in a driveway recently knows what that is. Gas prices are coming down. That's going to help us. But any construction we do, right now we have a real major project going on, replacement of pipes up at our Northwood County Annex, and that was Norwood for those who wonder what the Northwood County Annex was. That's a $4 million project. And you go, well, why would you do that? Well, there's the possibility of contamination due to the old piping in there. Health departments and others said this has to be government regulated. This has to be done. It wasn't done for 50 years, you know, because typically, you know, most people, it might be a good idea to replace the battery in your car after 4 years, but who really replaces it until your car doesn't start that morning?
Right.
And that's, I think, had been the attitude a lot of times. We're doing a fairly big project, or will be doing a fairly big project right down the road here from your station. At Edgewater, the nursing home. And we're doing that to facilitate more revenue so we have less impact to the taxpayer as we go forward. There's an initial impact, but if we look at over 10 years, it's beneficial. The jail was as well. I mean, that was a huge upfront cost, but in the long run, it's going to save us about $30 million over 20 years as opposed to keeping the old jail.
Yeah. Whether we're talking about the city or we're talking about any old business, you have to spend money to make money. That's business 101. And when you're talking about a city's economics or a city making money or anything like that, everything you've mentioned there and everything I've seen since I've lived in this area has really tried to do that, if not done it. The jail is a perfect example of this, of yes, you're paying this up front, but the long-term effects, the 20, 30, 40, 50, 60-year effects of this, you're making money. You're saving your community money.
Yeah, we're not spending as much. You know, and you've seen the change in the landscape downtown. I mean, it's phenomenal. When you look at what just came down, you know, we had an old annex building there that we owned that was not able to be occupied due to contamination, mold, other things over the years. Those are really old buildings. And you saw us take down some other buildings as we're reconfiguring parking down there. Part of that was a really cooperative effort working with the city and saying, how do we make the downtown more attractive to both attract people, to retain those that we have down there, and then make it a more genial gathering spot? Yeah. You know, you look at some of these other communities and the opportunities they have downtown to bring people in. And between the county's efforts and the city's efforts, I think in the long run, you're going to see a much more user-friendly, attractive downtown.
Our community is adapting better than most, and I've got friends around the country, and I, whether I'm talking in California or Florida or a couple of my friends in the Illinois area, they're in areas where they're not seeing this. Take, for example, what you're talking about with the downtown. The downtown used to have maybe 10, 12 bars down there. People aren't going to bars as much as they used to. They haven't been for over a decade. For us to keep doing that it would be a death kiss to our community. It would not be able to survive on bars and industry like that. Now, that industry still has a place. It certainly does. And we still need that. But that's where business comes into play. Business figures out who's going to survive and who isn't. Communities survive. Constituents, people do. When we look at that downtown area, I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged by the way the community, this city, seeing, okay, we can't continue to rely on this to make money any more than we can the paper industry. We have to adapt. We have to find other ways to make revenue. We have to find other things we can do and other ways we can cost and save money. Maybe having the new jail, that helps save some money here and there in the future. Some of the water park, the beautiful new field over there by Lincoln. There's a handful of things we've seen in the last 10 years or so that this community is doing to address that. The paper industry is leaving. We don't have it as much as we used to. So instead of just having a community that throws its hands up in the air, we got people like, no, we're going to adapt. We're going to find a way to counter that.
You have to adjust. You know, and some of those recreation opportunities, you mentioned the BMX opportunities, yes. The skate park. You know, I can have in the rafters in town. All of those things help. You take that downtown area, though, and, you know, preservation is important if you have an old historic building. Mm-hmm. And I think over the years, that probably didn't happen as much as it should have in every community. But when you look at some of the hodgepodge of, you know, and mess we had in that downtown area that has now been eliminated. It's mm-hmm. leveled. I mean, when you stand in the courthouse now and you look out and you look across at the river block building, which is really attractive, yeah. And you see the river frontage, you look at, you know, people might think I've had people tell me it's a waste of money to light the bridges. I think they look fantastic when you come in town. And I can't tell you how many people I've had in here to conventions and other places say, they remember that. They go, that is really interesting when I get down there. And, you know, they change colors, obviously, seasonally. It's interesting, and you're going to see some build out down there that's going to make it accessibility of the courthouse better. It's a much more attractive look, and because of that, you're going to see other businesses that will locate into that area and thrive.
The attractiveness of your home is part of what brings you to want to buy it.
Curb appeal, yeah.
it matters, and it's the same thing with the city. It's the same thing with the town. You need to look attractive to people that you want to live here, stay here, or at least to come back here or move here or something like that. The adage of scared money don't make money, the kind of thing. Well, if you sit there, that's going to cost too much. Or, oh, we can't do this. That's wasted money. None of this is all adds up to bringing more people to the community or keeping people in the community. Because as much as every town in America, and I mean every town, from the biggest city to the smallest, their biggest priority is bringing new people in. In rural areas, it's keeping people just as much as it is bringing people in. And those kind of things attract or keep people in the area.
Yeah, one of the toughest things for me, you know, I came from an entrepreneurial background, small business owner. The hardest thing for a small business owner is to realize when you've knocked your head against the wall, you've worked as hard as you can, you can't add any more value, and that particular business still doesn't make money. And you say, I've got to exit that strategy and move to something else. And when that happens, it might mean taking a little bit of a hit on the front end with the anticipation of I invest those dollars, whether that be $10, hundreds of thousands, or millions, in something else that's going to be profitable going forward. And obviously, everything changes. You know, I forget sometimes how old I am. You know, I look around and I made a comment to somebody the other day. I said, you know, dial phones and pay phones. And they go, what are you talking about? I happened to see a movie the other day with a pay phone, and I realized I wasn't watching a new movie, probably. but all of those kind of things. I mean, that occurred and happened. I still think it's a new car if it's from the 90s. You know, we're pushing 2030 pretty soon. And
I hear you.
You know, it's a whole different ballgame. It's a whole different way of doing business. You need to adapt. You need to change. That was your point with the paper industry. You know, we've got some real solid companies here making a product mm-hmm. that the consumer wants, but we also had a company that was making a product that was going by the wayside to some extent. And you know, originally when the first mill closed in this area in Port Edwards, you know, people were scared.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, you know, panicked, some stuck their head in the sand, go, you know, oh me, you know, my, what am I going to do? Woe is me. But we've really progressed in how we're going to handle that. And we've adapted. And, you know, with the last mill closure we had, we basically saw those people find other employment in town. Some retired. Some opened their own businesses. But it wasn't the shock. And the adaptation to other things that you talked about that doesn't happen in other communities happens here.
One of the things that I paid a lot of attention to when I was younger, and I've seen more and more about it as I got older, in West Virginia in the coal industry, and how hard they were hit by that. It just seemed like an overnight thing that they found out, oh, wait, nobody's using coal anymore. But instead of just kind of like throwing their hands up in the air or complaining or anything like that, look at the industry life in West Virginia, just the state, let alone in certain pocket communities and everything, particularly ones that had coal mines in them, and how well they've adapted, how quickly they rebounded, how so many people in the workforce that worked in coal for 20 years immediately went back to school and learned tech or learned something else. Like, this can be done. If West Virginia can do it, any community in the world can do it. I think it's important to note these things because we're all adapting, and it shows the strength of a community. It's also something I think that not to say that this is a major part of it, but take some pride in that. We're always looking for people to take pride in their zip code, take pride in where you're from. Here's something that you can hang your hat on. Your community is answering the bell. Your community is working, is trying. Are there things that could be improved? Absolutely, in every community in the world. But it's important to focus on the things that, hey, man, it could be a lot worse. We've got some positives here.
Yeah, you know, it's a resilience. And it isn't just here. I mean, look what happened to Janesville when GM left. Or, you know, the Racine Kenosha area, you know, a Chrysler over the years. I mean, they went through a period where, you know, everything had to be revitalized. I mean, there was a downturn. But if you go down in those areas now, you know, you look at some of the stuff that's happened in those areas, you go, wow.
Yeah.
And that's because people at some point said, you know, got to kind of pull myself up by the bootstraps and get at it. And I don't know if that's just a Midwest. I guess West Virginia doesn't count as Midwest. But, I mean, it's a resilience of people.
It's a resilience, though,
that are faced with challenge. Mm-hmm. And that's important. And I have seen that here. You know, the ability to adapt, the ability to move forward. And then we're a friendly community.
That doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. Before we let you go, Lance, I did want to mention that there is a number of important meetings coming up for people. If you are curious about them, I encourage you to go to woodcountywi.gov or you go to the city's website, wisconsinrapids.gov. You go to either one of those and you're going to be able to see some of the meetings that are coming up and important ones that you want to be a part of. I know that there was a Common Council meeting yesterday and some more recent ones that have happened. Anything noteworthy you think, Lance, about
this? In a particular meeting, but what is noteworthy is all the work really happens at the committee level. And typically that happens over the course of a couple of months. You know, discussion occurs, you know, people have different thoughts, they go back, it comes back on a committee agenda. People say, how come the county board meeting doesn't last 5 hours? It's because generally all that discussion has occurred, all those supervisors have heard all of that information. It doesn't typically get to the board floor with a lot of debate. And that's because usually by that time, all the questions have been answered. So my take would be, if you're really interested in an issue, whether it directly involves you or not, the committee meetings are where that happens. Mm-hmm. And so I encourage people to look at the schedule, you know, to take a peek. And if you really have a concern with something, that's the place it really gets done. Once it gets to the county board, obviously we have public comment and other things. But generally speaking, most people have probably pretty well decided where they stand on any issue.
I encourage you to bookmark, check out the websites, woodcountywi.gov, and go to the city's website, wisconsinrapids.gov, their new website, wisconsinrapids.gov. Lance, always appreciate the time and the conversation. If people have follow-up questions, want to know more, how can they get in touch with you?
All of my information is on the Wood County website. My phone number's in the book. You can get a hold of me any number of ways, but all the information. You can call the courthouse. Somebody will get a hold of you. And one of the things I pride myself on, James, is getting back to people right away. I constantly have to go, I can't believe you called me back. I not only called you back, you only called me 5 minutes ago. But if you do that, when you ask me to respond, I just laugh all the time. They call my home phone. I don't have caller ID. They don't leave a number. They don't leave a name. They don't leave an address or an email or anything, and I can't get a hold of them. So if you really want a response, please leave me some information. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Lance, and thanks for the time, of course. And real quick before I let you guys go, I did want to take the opportunity to mention once more that the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has a domestic violence awareness vigil going on tomorrow at McMillan Library at 6 o'clock in the evening. You see me in purple here, my socks, everything. It is to show support to the Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and that's why you see a lot of purple in the community. It's something we are talking about with the bridge lights and those being purple, another one of those things that that's money well spent. That these kind of things, and showing that we are a friendly community to this topic, and we are on the right side of history.
Yeah, interesting project. When I was in Tampa, they had that, and I said years ago, that looks cool. Now we have it.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Family CTR, you can go to find out more. The Family Center has your back, everybody. And, of course, encourage you to go to YouTube, type in your search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, and keep up with the great work that they are doing over there. Appreciate both of you guys. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining us for another edition of WFHR's Rapids Report.